If you will, turn to 1 John chapter 2. And we're looking tonight, we're continuing our study in the truth of having fellowship with the Father. If there's anything that's important to the believer, it is that we walk in sweet fellowship with Jesus. That we walk in sweet closeness to Him. Amen? That we really are in His will. And we are doing what He wants us to do. He looks at our lives and sees that we love Him. And that we really are walking in fellowship with Him. We talked about fellowship that John mentions. He's not talking about salvation, but fellowship with the Father. Walking, being right with God, right with Jesus. And that fellowship is a fellowship in love, a fellowship in holiness, and a fellowship in obedience. And 1 John is really a book of contrast. You have holiness, and then you have sin. You have the symbol of light and darkness. You have love, and you have hate. And tonight we're going to look at something that has to do with truth rather than error. The only way you can walk in fellowship with God is to walk in truth. Anything that is short of that is not going to be fellowship with God. And John is very clear in presenting that. Truth and error. Let me read first before we get into these verses. Acts chapter 20. Beginning with verse 28, verse 30. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Who is that? That's the preachers, the overseers. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you. Well, he had that right, didn't he? And that was the inspiration of God saying, he was saying, watch out, be careful to the Christians, because grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves, shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Now keep those verses in mind, the intent of what he is saying here. Now let's go to 1 John 2, and let me read beginning with verse 18, going through verse 26. Very important verses that we understand. He says in verse 18, little children, there it is again, to whom is he writing? Little children, saved folk like you and me. So, little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. These are some things that he warned us about. He talked about antichrist and antichrist, those who have that spirit. And it also is not only anti doesn't mean just against Christ. Anti means trying to be like Christ, trying to fool people and doing that kind of thing. And so he's speaking of those that there would be many of them during the last times, whereby we know it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. They sort of start out with you, and then the next thing you know, they're not there. And especially those that are in a leadership position, and some type of teachers. So he says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and know all things. We know the truth. We know all things because of the Holy One, the Holy Spirit. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? That's pretty strong language, isn't it? Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? That is those who deny the deity of Jesus Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son, capital S. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning ye shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the capital S Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that do what? Seduce you. So there's the truth. There are the Antichrist people, the spirit of Antichrist, all of that that exists. Now John warns about these Antichrists in verse 18. Look at it again. Little children, it is the last time ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists. So here's the warning. John is warning them, and he's warning us tonight about that. Now, what is Satan's purpose? Satan's purpose today, and it can be described in a number of different ways, but his purpose today is to do all that he can to oppose Christ. The devil hates Jesus Christ, and he wants to oppose Jesus Christ personally, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is the spirit of Antichrist, not only against God or against Christ, but instead of Christ, Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, trying to take his place. And that has been true throughout all of the ages from that time on until this time. And that's why we have a lot of error in so-called New Testament churches. Now listen, thank God Satan cannot take our salvation away from us. But he can take your fellowship away from you. And he loves to do that. And though he cannot get your soul, and though he cannot take it away from you, there's no way he can do it, or God would be a liar, and God's not a liar, but he can, if we allow him to do it, mess our lives up, and he will take our sweet communion and loving, close fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Fellowship is impossible if error is prevalent. If error is allowed. Look at chapter 4 in verse 15. In that verse, very plain, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. That's truth, isn't it? Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. That's fellowship. Whosoever shall confess Jesus is deity, Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he and God, we have fellowship one with the other. Not so much you and me, but God the Father and myself, you and God the Father having that fellowship. And the word dwelleth there, I think, would lend itself to the idea of having fellowship with the Father. But fellowship is impossible if error is prevalent or if error is allowed. Now, that's the way Satan works. He works in a lot of different ways. 2 Corinthians 11:13, listen to it. He said, for such are false, now watch this word, for such are false apostles. Did you get that word? For such are false apostles, deceitful workers. Listen to this now, pay attention. Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So, they are really false apostles, but they change their outward demeanor and their language and everything else and make you think that they are genuine apostles or genuine men of God. And so they transform themselves. Now, who confers on them the title of apostle? The devil does. He gives them an honorary degree there. He gives them an honorary position, and he says, you are apostles. And he makes them theologians and preachers. Did you get that? They are false. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. And they are called pastors, ministers, clergy. They're called professors of theology. And they have little embryonic theologues who suck that stuff in and believe what they say, and then they perpetuate the lies that are out there. And so he confers that title of apostle on them and makes them theologians and preachers. Now, they don't walk around like this and say, with a sign in the hand, I'm a false prophet, I'm a false preacher, I'm a false apostle, do they? They're not going to do that. The devil's smarter than that. And they're not going to go around advertising that they are lying and that they're false apostles. They actually, most of the time, here's what they claim, new truth. Listen to me now. They claim new truth. God came to me in a vision. Maybe some kind of golden tablets or whatever it was, whatever it's going to be. God has come to me. I had a vision one night and God has told me that I need to tell you this. This is truth. You can count on it. After all, God told me this. And yet it contradicts the Word of God. Now, folks, let me remind you, we have the Word of God.
Amen.
We have all that God needed for us to have right here in this book. And He says that anybody that adds to or takes away, let them be anathema. Curse be upon them. So we don't need somebody who ate too much pizza and couldn't sleep and had a bad dream to come tell us that that is God's divine word that He has given them. And many of them are out there right now. They claim usually new truth. I'll tell you some, they claim that. Charles Taz Russell, Jehovah's Witness leader, he claimed additional truth, new truth. But it all most of it contradicts the Word of God. Joseph Smith, the Mormons claim new truth. The Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. And I know they're good moral people and good family people, but their doctrine is from hell. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Don't be scared to say amen or something like that. Their doctrine is from hell. And if you don't understand that, you need a little more teaching.
Yeah.
But anyway, you have guys like Herbert W. Armstrong, Garner Ted Armstrong, and the Church of God of Prophecy and all of that. They had some additional revelation, and Britain the Jewish people and some of those things and all other things that go along with that, and we don't have time to go into it, but these are those who had new truth. The only thing is their new truth contradicts what we know is truth.
Amen.
And it's a lie, and they're dragging a lot of people to hell. Don't ever say to a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon that comes to your house when they leave, God bless you. God won't bless them, and God's not pleased with them. And you say, would you talk to them? Yeah, tell them about Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
and tell them how to be saved. And maybe some of them will be saved. Some of them do get saved. But most of them are going to take off. They're going to feel called by the elder to get down the road. If you really approach them with the Bible and with truth, most of them are going to do that. Now, these cults and others similar to that attack the person and work of Jesus Christ. Most other religions other than Christianity attack the person and work of Jesus Christ. They may give Him a little credit, but not that much credit. And so John is giving us these warnings. Look at 1 John 2:22 just a second. 1 John 2:22. Again, we're reminded, who is a liar? Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son, the deity. Who is a liar? Anybody that denies the deity, Antichrist, instead of Christ. In 1 John 4, in verse 2, and then in verse 15, 1 John 4, 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. How are we going to know the Spirit of God, capital S? How are we going to know? Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. In other words, if they are if they will confess the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, so many times that takes care of all the rest of it, doesn't it? Verse 15, whosoever shall confess, and we've read it before, but we'll look at it again, that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. So it is a very important thing that we have the truth right, and that's what he's saying in this relationship. Now what does Satan do? Satan deceives. He is a master at deception. You think these guys you see on television that do all that magic stuff, that they're masters of deception? They are. They don't hold a candlelight. Not a candlelight to the devil. He is a master of deception. And so he deceives, especially in the work of Christ. That's one area where he really gets people messed up and fouled up, is the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a substitute and a sacrifice for our sins. Amen? A substitute and a sacrifice for our sins. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to our own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And so, that all went on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here it is. No blood, no remission of sins. No blood of Christ shed, no remission of sins. The deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Satan attacks that. He attacks the blood. Satan hates the blood. That's why the liberals want to get rid of the blood. Take the blood out of the songbooks. Take the blood out of certain versions as the way it is used in the Word of God. Get rid of the blood. But the Messiah, Jesus, was God's precious Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the one who is shedding his blood on the cross and dying for us. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ. Now what does Satan do? He attacks that. What does he tell most people? He tells them, you don't need the blood. Just work your way to heaven. Just earn your right to get to heaven. If you'll just work, and by your good deeds and all of that, you can get to heaven. He is attacking the work of Christ. It is D-O-N-E done, not D-O-do. It's already taken care of by Jesus. And so, it isn't what we do. And Satan attacks the work of Christ. And he deceives man so that you talk to the average person out here, you go out on Saturday, knock on some doors, talk to them, and ask them if they're going to heaven, and 9 out of 10 of them will say, I think so, I believe so, or some will just say, yeah, I know I'm going. And then you ask them, well, on what basis do you have that belief, or what do you base that on? And they'll giggle a little bit and say, well, I'm not such a bad person. I try to do the right thing. Some of them even say, well, I've always been saved ever since I was a little baby, you know. All kinds of answers you get. But most of them, and most religions, are religions, probably all of them, other than Christianity, are religions that say you must work your way to heaven. And so Satan attacks the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we don't understand the work of Christ, we don't have salvation. We have to understand the work of Christ. And if we don't have salvation, we don't have any fellowship with the Father. None whatsoever. Ye are of your father the devil until you get saved and born again. So he attacks the work of Christ, and then he attacks the person of Christ. He attacks the person of Christ. And that's what John is talking about as we read those verses in 2:22 and 4:15. What does he attack? The deity of Jesus Christ. Talk to a Mormon and say, well, tell me, how do you feel about Jesus? What do you think about Jesus? And by the way, they'll find people who are hurting and all that and come in their homes and show them a little DVD or something or video and talk to them and really walk in during a time like that when they're hurting, and the people just go ape over that. Let me tell you, you have to be careful with that. Be real careful with that and warn your relatives and your neighbors and friends about that. They attack the deity of Christ, and you ask them, now, who do you think Jesus was? And they, well, he's a great prophet, you've heard me say that before, or a great person, and all that. Do you think he sinned? No, I don't think he sinned. Do you believe he was God in the flesh? Oh, no, we don't go that far. He was a great man, a great prophet, a great religious leader, like some of the other, and they'll start naming some of these religious leaders and all of that. But was he God? No, we cannot say he's God. And friend, you're left out. Satan attacks the deity of Jesus Christ, and the Bible says that Jesus was God. He was one with God in nature. He was one with God in essence. Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. And so he attacks the doctrine of deity. He always is after that over and over. People say, well, the virgin birth, it's not important. Oh, yes, it is.
Amen.
If you don't have the virgin birth, you don't have the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, those people that come to your door, and as far as they're concerned, Jesus is no more God than you are. You have as much chance of achieving being God as they do being God. And one of the critical issues that deals with deity is the virgin birth. Isaiah dealt with a virgin birth. Matthew dealt with a virgin birth. Luke dealt with it, and they verified the virgin birth. Had Jesus been the natural son of Joseph and Mary, he would have been a sinner with blood that was tainted flowing through his body, just like you and me. But he was of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the womb of the Virgin Mary, who never knew a man until after Jesus was born. And those brothers and sisters were really foster brothers and sisters in a sense that it was. And so Jesus Christ was not sinful humanity, but he always attacks that. The value of the work of Christ, the value of his work, how is it valuable? Does it count? Does it mean anything? The value of the work of Christ is based on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If he was not God, he could not be our Savior. If he was not God, he could not have represented man as he did when he died on the cross for our sins. Now, John gives us the warning. He keeps on warning us. And listen to what he says. We need to know this, folks, especially in this day and age, for goodness sake. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, there again, a term of endearment, save people, my little children. Beloved, listen, are you listening? Believe not every spirit. Believe not every spirit. Well, what do? Try the spirits, whether they are of God. Why? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. How many of you believe many false prophets have gone out into the world? Say amen. That's what the Bible said. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many wolves in sheep's clothing. So what does he say do? Try the spirits. Well, what does he mean, spirits? Well, I think it gets into the work of the demons, but I think he would not do damage to say, try the teachers. Try out the preachers. Try them. Put them to the test. Back then, there were no resident preachers like we have. I'm a resident preacher. I stay here. I hang around. I've been hanging around 17 years. I have a residence. I have a house. Back then, they moved around in different ones. And then somebody would just show up and say, hey, God sent me by, and I'm going to preach to y'all and tell you what God said. And he's saying that we need to try or test the teachers, the preachers, the spirits. It's sort of like putting ore in a crucible. And they would turn up the heat to assay the ore. They would turn the heat up, and then somebody might say, this ore assays high in gold, because they tried it and tested it and put it under the heat. Now, some of these fellows, a lot of times churches look at their ordination certificate. So, well, he's got an ordination certificate. He's been ordained. Surely he's of God. Did you know you can buy one of those for $2 and fill it in yourself? Put some false name down, a Reverend so-and-so. You can buy them in the bookstore all day long. I had a guy one time that came in. We'd just been ripped off so many times by people who really were lying about their needs and all that stuff. And this guy came in, and I thought, well, I'll talk to him. And he sort of caught me in the hall, and I sat down with him in my office. I said, now, tell me about your story and all that. He said, well, I'm an ordained minister. I said, you're lying to me. You're not an ordained minister. You know that you're not. He said, yes, I am. Yes, I am. He smelled like he'd been sleeping in an outhouse for about a month. And there were a lot of evidences that he wasn't really practicing being a minister. But at any rate, I just was having a little fun with him. And I said, no, you're not. He said, yes, I am. He said, I've got my ordination papers. I said, you do? He said, yes, I do. He said, you want to see him? I said, I sure do. It was cold. We walked out of my office, down the stairs, out past the bookstore, out to his car. He opened the trunk, and laying right on top of everything, as if it might have been planned, he had his ordination certificate. And I said, you know you bought that at the bookstore. He just looked at me real funny. I said to him, you work so hard on this, I'm going to give you some money anyway. But at any rate, we helped him out. But I still think the guy was lying. Only God knows for sure. But you can buy ordination certificates at dime a dozen. I mean, you can get them anywhere and fill them out. And even some that are legitimate. That doesn't make them right. And then there are the degrees that people have. Well, he has a PhD, or he has a Doctor of Divinity, or he has an MD of a Master of Divinity and all that. Surely he or she, where'd you get that one? She is a man of God. She is a man of God, yeah. And he's a man of God and all of that. And surely, you know, that doesn't make him right. Really doesn't make him right. What does God say do? Put him to the test. Here's the test. The Holy Bible. The Holy Bible. If you think, and I'm not preaching the truth from this pulpit, you need to come talk to me. And I'll tell you why I'm preaching it and show you the verse and the chapters. And then you'll have to admit you're wrong, and then you'll have to deal with it after that. But at any rate, only the Bible is what we have to test. What is your doctrine? Can you believe that some people hire people and don't even ask, what do you believe? We ought to ask staff workers, what do you believe? Missionaries, what do you believe? Preachers, what do you believe? Any church that calls a pastor and doesn't ask them what they believe ought to be shot. The people, the pulpit committee. Only the Bible is the test. We have all that God has revealed about Himself. It is revealed through Jesus Christ, who revealed us this Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we don't need any more revelation today. And as I said, if they say I've got a new revelation, watch out. And by the way, this book will take care of the errors of the charismatic movement. It'll take care of the errors of the tongues. It's all right there in the Bible. The tongues, modern-day tongues, totally, absolutely, without question, totally unscriptural. And I don't have time to back that up, but I can. And it's inferior in every way. It's inferior chronometrically, in time measure, linguistically. By the way, if I preach messages in tongues, as the way the Bible says it would have to take that many to do it, I'd preach to midnight. But at any rate, you better be glad we don't preach that way. But I can tell you that the Bible takes care of that. The Bible takes care of this healing. The Bible takes care of prosperity theology. I might start preaching it. If I can get $600,000 in the safe, have somebody steal it and still survive, that'd be all right. Prosperity theology. But the Bible says try it, test it. By the way, that works for TV programs, it works for radio programs, it works for tapes, CDs. Nobody buys tapes much anymore. But take heed what you hear. What do you do? Test it by the Word. By the way, if you're going to test it by the Word, you sort of got to know a little bit about the Word. Amen? You got to know a little bit. You need to know a whole lot about the Word. And thank God we do have a helper. You know that? 1 John 2:20. Again, he reminds us of that. In 1 John 2:20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Truth comes as the Holy Spirit of God blesses the Word of God and reveals the Word of God to us. Verse 27, he says in that particular verse 2:27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now, somebody says, well, we don't need preachers and teachers then. Why do we need teachers if we have the master teacher, the Holy Spirit? Why do we need them? Well, I think the main reason is because God has gifted some people with that gift, and he wouldn't have given them that gift if he didn't want them to use that gift. It is a holy gift. John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit in us, the main teacher. And then John 14:26, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And so we have the helper through the Holy Spirit of God. And thank God he does not inspire more scripture. He illuminates this scripture.
Amen.
And that's why when you pray, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and to teach you and to do all of that. And the truth has already been revealed. I've got to skip over a few things, but I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, you read John 16, and you'll find that he gives more revelation, and the Holy Spirit adds to the revelation, not to the Bible, but to what is already there and your illumination of it. And then the Holy Spirit always glorifies Christ. So if we're going to know the Father and the Son, we've got to follow the teaching of the Word of God. And he teaches us that in 1 John 2:20. Now, I ask the question, why do we need a Bible teacher? God gave the gift to some people in order to be teachers. What do teachers do? They just point your attention and direct your attention to the Word of God. They're just finger pointers. Here's what God says. Here's what God says. And they assist you by pointing out what the Bible is saying, and they are needed according to the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit is the main one who helps us understand those things after they've been pointed out to us. Teachers just call attention to it, and then the Holy Spirit confirms what has been taught and being taught by the man of God. Now, here's the whole thing. You cannot walk in fellowship if you don't walk in truth. That's very clear in 1 John. If you don't walk in truth, and you cannot do it if you're ignorant of truth. That's why we need to study to know the Word of God. The Holy Spirit reveals the truth to us, helps us understand it. Sometimes you'll get a hold of a passage and you'll have to rerun it, run it through, run it back through, and pray, and God, show me what do you mean here, and help me. And somebody may help you so much, but the Holy Spirit is the one who's a great teacher. And then the result is intimate fellowship. Thank God it is the gospel of truth that saves people. Amen. The gospel of truth is that you're a sinner. Jesus died for you. Paid your sin debt. If you'll ask him to come into your heart and save you, trust him. He will save you. That's the truth. You don't earn it. You don't get it any other way but through Jesus. So, may we commit ourselves tonight to knowing this book better, to knowing the truth. You know, the old FBI director used to teach his people about counterfeit money. But you know what he did? He didn't give them counterfeit money to rob. He gave them the real stuff, said, just keep feeling the real stuff. And the very moment you touch counterfeit, then you'll know it's counterfeit. And we need to touch the real stuff. And then when the counterfeit comes along, you won't have any problem. You won't be embarrassed about it. You'll stand up and you'll say, this is what the Word of God says, and that's what I believe and I'm standing on. Amen. Let's stand, please.